Tonight we're going to look at the lampstand. Let's begin reading in verse 31 of Exodus 25. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower, so in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same, and it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels. Now notice that in the King James Bible it is called candlestick. But you'll have to note that it is more literally a lamp stand. This is not wax and wick. This is a bowl and oil. A bowl and oil. No candles were ever burned on this. This has to do, in if you go to ancient Israel, and as they recover from archaeology, little clay lamps, it's just a little lamp about the size of my hand, and at one end it's got this little hole that would have a wick, it would have oil in it, olive oil, and they would light that wick, and they would trim that wick. And that's how they would see. So to have your lamp trimmed so that it burns brightly was from a little lamp like that, made typically out of hardened clay. But what's this made out of? Pure, solid gold. The Hebrew word is a word that you can pronounce. Menorah. That's the word. You're all familiar with a menorah. The seven-branched lampstand that you often see in pictures today. This is the very first mention of it in chapter 25 and verse 31. Here's the first mention of lampstand. So whenever you see candlestick, simply think of lampstand, and that's why I call this the lampstand as you see tonight. So let's look at its dimensions. What are its dimensions? Did you see its dimensions as we read this tonight? You'll notice the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant. You'll notice the dimensions of the table of showbread. But you'll also understand no dimensions whatsoever are given for the lampstand. So that's where we end that. No dimensions given. The material. Once again, we read that it is pure gold without wood, so that it is often referred to as the pure lampstand. If you go to chapter 39 and verse 37 of Exodus, it's referred to as the pure lampstand. And it's how much gold, according to verse 39? It's a talent of gold. Now, one talent was 125 pounds. So you have 125 pounds of gold. So if we did some quick figuring just to see how much this would be worth today, the current value of gold yesterday was $1,114 an ounce. This lampstand today would be worth $2,228,000. That's to show you the gold that is involved. But that's not what this is all about. It's like, wow, that's worth some money. It's gold that speaks of deity. Gold, and it's pure gold. That which this lampstand is made out of. But then we see the description that is given in verses 32 to 36. We've already read it. You've got one middle shaft with three branches on each side, totaling seven branches. So I found in a book this artist's rendering of what it could look like, and every artist's rendering differs. Every one of them. Sometimes they will refer to the lampstand that is engraved in the Arch of Titus in Rome because it is a replica of what the general would have brought out of the temple. But the temple lampstand is different than the tabernacle lampstand because Solomon would have made a new lampstand. In fact, it says that he did. So this lampstand, we have nothing that tells us what it was as far as having a picture or a drawing anywhere. But according to what you read here, as I've looked through various drawings, this is probably the closest, in my opinion, as to what it may have looked like. So you've got the middle shaft, and then you've got the branches, three coming out of every side to total up the six branches. At the end of each branch was a golden lamp supplied by oil. What kind of oil? Let's go to chapter 27 of Exodus and look at verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn. How often? Always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. And so you've got this lamp stand with each of the seven lamps being supplied by olive oil. And then you see the terms for ornamentation are drawn from plants and trees. Branches, bowls like almonds, verse 33, which come from the almond tree, flowers or tree blossoms. And so there you see a branch that comes from an almond tree. So the branches would have something to do with the almonds here, the flowers that you see there. Somehow that was built in, or somehow that was part of the ornamentation of the lampstand as you see it as a whole. Of course, this is from more of a distance away. So there's a description of the lampstand. Let's look at how this was transported. No instructions as far as poles to carry this with. Were there poles for the Ark of the Covenant? Yes. Were there poles for the table of showbread? Yes. Are there poles for the lampstand? No. Nothing is mentioned. But I do want to take you to Numbers chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And I think I'll have this up on the screen, so maybe you don't have to go there unless you want to follow along with me. In Numbers chapter 4, verses 5 and then 9 and 10, it says this. In verse 5, and when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall, and then you jump down to verse 9, take a cloth of blue. So when they're ready to move on and they have to dismantle the tabernacle and get all the furniture, they would take a cloth of blue and cover the lampstand of the light and his lamps and his tongs and his snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger's skins. Now, this has been a while since we talked about the badger's skins. The badger's skins are more likely the skins of what creature? A manatee or a dugong. Okay? And shall, now look at the last part of verse 10, Numbers chapter 4, and shall put it upon a bar. That's then how they would carry it. The lampstand would put upon a bar. Remember, it's about 125 pounds. And so it would be carried upon that bar. Well, then we get to probably one of the more interesting things to consider, and that is its purpose. What was the purpose of the lampstand? What do you think? Obviously, to give. That's what a lamp stands for, is to give light. This lamp was to burn continually. We saw that in Exodus 27, 20, and 21. But let's now go to Leviticus chapter 24. Notice again when this lampstand is mentioned in verses 1 through 4. And here's what the Lord says unto Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is Leviticus 24, verse 1. Now verse 2, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn. And here we see it again in Exodus 27. It was to burn always. Now it says to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order from the evening unto the morning before the Lord. Here it is again, continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure lampstand before the Lord. And here it is again, continually. How long was this lamp to be? How long were these lamps to be burning? Continually, always, without fail. These lamps are to be burning. Now, if there's any symbolism with this, I think we need to remember that continual burning, the continually giving light, never going out, constantly burning, constantly giving light. This required a continual supply of olive oil. Think about that. Remember that the holy place is covered with curtains and there are no windows. So it's dark inside. Darker than if we would have turned the lights out in here, because we still have light coming in, completely dark in the holy place. So by the light of this lampstand, the priests would be able to minister. Now there's two other pieces of furniture in this holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but in this holy place. Two other pieces of furniture. We've looked at one, the table of showbread. The other is the altar of incense. So in order for them to minister in this place, they have to have light. God provides that light through this seven-branched lamp stand. And so they also are to eat the bread from the table of showbread. How are they going to see it? They see it by the light of the lampstand. And by this light from the lampstand, they are able to see the entrance into the Holy of Holies, wherein only one priest once a year could enter. Folks, without light, there's confusion. Without light, there's disorder. God provides the light, even in a simple place like this. But now remember, Moses looked that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. What is Moses seeing? What is Moses seeing? I believe Moses is seeing something that has to do with what's in heaven. Now, just kind of some application concerning this light. David's leadership in Israel, he was known as a light unto Israel. In fact, the very word, if you look in Exodus 25 and look at verse 37, remember, thou shalt make the seven lamps. The word lamps there is found also in 2 Samuel 21:17, where it says, then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light, literally, the lamp of Israel. David, don't go fight with us anymore. We're afraid you're going to get killed, and the lamp of Israel will be extinguished. David, you're the lamp. So leadership was known as the lamp for the children of Israel. Go with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to note here that David confesses that the Lord is his lamp. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I trust you're going with me to these passages. Look at verse 29 of 2 Samuel 22. David says this, for thou art my lamp, O Lord. Think about that. Lord, you're my lamp, David is saying. Same word used there in Exodus 25. And the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? You may remember the challenge that I gave Wednesday night about the rock. He is the rock. He is also the light. And David said, God is my lamp. You know who your lamp is? It should be the same as what David said his lamp was. Your lamp ought to be God himself. Now, when you think about the word lamp, you can also think about this verse. Thy word is a... God is my lamp. His word is my lamp. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is put this way in Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So what does the light speak of? The light speaks of leadership, of God and his word. That is my light. That is my lamp. What happens when a man's lamp is put out? A few interesting verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 13:9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked is going to be put out. Proverbs 24:20. There shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle, literally the lamp of the wicked, shall be put out. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, notice this, children, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You know that a light that is burning indicates presence. Think about this commercial. We'll leave the light on. To what does that refer? Wow, see, what an effective commercial. Everybody still remembers that, and they haven't used that commercial in years as far as Motel 6, we'll leave the light on. What does leaving the light on indicate? Somebody's here. Somebody's present. In fact, in so many words, that idea is communicated that somebody is home in Jeremiah 25:10 by the use of lamp. It's an interesting verse if you have time to go to it, Jeremiah 25:10 sometime. Someone has to keep the lamp trimmed in order to keep the lamp burning. Somebody's got to be there to keep it burning. Now, I want to go to a very interesting passage found in Zechariah. You'll recognize this passage once we get into it. Zechariah chapter 4. It's the second to the last book of the Old Testament. So if you can find the place between where the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins, go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and back up to Zechariah and go to chapter 4. And note verse 2. There's an angel talking with Zechariah, and he says in verse 2, you're there with me, Zechariah 4:2, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a lampstand all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. It's interesting. On either side are two olive trees. Perpetual oil to keep these lamps burning. And so you've got this lampstand that Zechariah is seeing here in his book. And then you get to verse 4, and it says, I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, and now you come to a passage that you all will remember. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This, as Zechariah is looking at the lampstand, the angel says, Zechariah, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. Perpetual oil. And so we can see that even the scriptures indicate the symbolism here, that the oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit of God, by which the light burns and people are able to see. With that in mind, go with me to Revelation. You say, oh no, we're going to Revelation again? Yeah. Revelation chapter 4. Since what Moses is seeing upon the mount is probably something that he is seeing in heaven, in Revelation chapter 4, who is taken up into heaven in the Spirit? John the Apostle, verse 2. I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. So here's John in the spirit visualizing something in heaven. And you get to verse 4, and it says, well, in verse 3, he that sat upon the throne was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now note verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Did not Moses and the people of Israel see this at the base of Mount Sinai? Okay, now verse 5, and there were 7 lamps of fire. Is this coincidental that there are 7 lamps burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God? This is not a coincidence. It is no coincidence that Moses sees, and he makes after the pattern, he sees a lampstand that has 7 lamps. And then in Zechariah sees this vision, and he is told, what you're seeing is that this is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord God. And then you get to Revelation, and we read that these 7 spirits are the 7 lamps. The 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, identified as the 7 spirits of God, symbolizing the searching perception of the omniscient judge of the earth, God Almighty. I was quoting Dr. Thurman Wisdom there. Here you are in Revelation chapter 4. Go back to chapter 1. Verse 4, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. 7 signifies completeness. The 7 lamps on the lampstands of Exodus and Zechariah, it's completeness. But it also symbolizes the searching perception of the Spirit of God. Now, Revelation chapter 1, John in his vision sees a man. Who is he seeing in chapter 1? Help me out, please. He is seeing Jesus Christ himself. And the description given of Christ, you see, begins in verse 13 and it goes on. But then you see that he sees, man, he's holding something in his hands. Go down to verse 20. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. Now you've got 7 lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels or messengers of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which thou sawest are the 7 churches. The lampstands are the 7 churches. So a lampstand in general is the scriptural symbol of a church. As Bush goes on to say, the light of the tabernacle answers to the light of the church, and the light of the church is the light of the Spirit of God. The light of the church. You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, help us to be a light here in this community. Well, let me rephrase that. It's not the Lord, help us to be a light. You just need to remember something. You are the light. You are the light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle or a lamp and put it under a bushel, Jesus said, but on a lampstand. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, we are the lampstand. Then you see the writing, the letters to each of these 7 churches. And the one who is trimming the wicks, Jesus, has something to say about each one of the churches. I just turned back from Revelation. Let's go back to Revelation. And I want you to note what he says about the very first church that left its first love. The church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2. He adjures them to repent. Note verse 5, Revelation 2:5. Remember therefore from whence thou art falling, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. And what am I going to do? What is he going to do? And I will remove your lampstand out of your place unless you repent. He who trims the wicks says to this very first church and to the pastor of the church, speaking to the people, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your lampstand. You're not being the light you should be. And folks, we've got a responsibility to remember we are the light. And we are the light because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So you just remember that as you individually go out into this world tomorrow, tonight, you're a light. And here's what you tend to do when you do something you shouldn't be doing. You tend to take a bushel and cover the light. Jesus said, that's not right. That doesn't make sense. You don't take a lamp, you don't take a bushel and cover the lamp. It's like D. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, you just remember that the one who hands you the bushel to cover the light is Satan himself. And you let your light so shine that others may see. Then you get to the end of the book of Revelation, and you know what will not be in heaven? Let's go to that, Revelation chapter 22. One day in Sunday school, we're going to get to this chapter. Revelation 22:5. I love this verse. In fact, there's a song written about this. And there shall be no night there. And they need no, literally, lamp. Neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Who's the light in heaven? Go to Revelation 21. Note verse 23. The Lamb is the light thereof. And what are the streets made out of? What kind of gold? Pure gold. So pure, it's almost transparent to look at. And I've made this comment before, that sometimes what makes something look beautiful is the light. I remember when we got engaged, and my wife, that ring that she still has on her finger, I think, and we would go, there were certain places on campus you could go, especially the amphitheater, the lights in the amphitheater made her diamond just brilliant. You know, when you go to a jewelry store, have you ever noticed how brilliant the jewelry is? What's the reason? It's the light. Folks, what is going to make the gold shine? It's not the quality of the gold. It's the quality of the light. Jesus himself will be the light. Oh, man, I can't wait. Norma McCoy, she just can't wait to get to heaven. She wanted me to pray last night that the Lord would just take her. She wants to get there. And sometimes I feel that way. But I had to tell her, Norma, God has a reason for you to be here. So be the light that you're supposed to be while you're here. Well, we'll go quickly to the end. Then you've got the utensils mentioned in verse 38. You've got the tongs and you've got the snuff dishes. The tongs are simply some kind of an instrument to trim the lamps. It's probably a scissors or a snuffer. I've got a little drawing up here on the screen for you. You see the lamp, just an ancient lamp. Of course, this would be made out of gold, and the scissors that they have discovered that would probably that which they would trim the lamps with. And then you've got the snuff dishes that it mentions there in verse 38, and that's probably some kind of a little vessel to receive the snuffings after being trimmed. Then you see the construction of the lampstand in chapter 37, verses 17 to 24. We're not going to go there, but you may want to go there sometime on your own and just see the construction of the lampstand itself. Then you've got the location of the lampstand in Exodus chapter 26. Go with me to Exodus 26 and notice verse 35. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick or the lampstand over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. and thou shalt put the table on the north. Isn't it interesting that God is really particular? Now, the lampstand never goes on the north. It's always on the south. The table of showbread, always on the north. Now, these priests may one day just go in there and say, you know what, let's kind of switch things around a little bit. We're not getting as many crowds anymore. Maybe if we can put these, if we can switch this furniture around, no, God specified. No, the table goes on the north. The lampstand goes to the south. And it's always to be that way. And the tabernacle itself, as you enter into the tabernacle, you're always going west. And as you exit the tabernacle, you are always going east. Always. It is never to be changed. And that way you can put the furniture in it the way it ought to be. So here again, we see the placement of the table of showbread on the north. You can see. And the lampstand on the south. This is always to be that way. Now, notice in chapter 40, go with me to chapter 40 of Exodus. When the tabernacle is being set up, Exodus chapter 40, it is mentioned in verses 24 and 25, and we're going to read that in just a moment, but I want you to see that for right now. But it is opposite the table of showbread. So before you entered into the Holy of Holies, you had to walk between the table of showbread and this lampstand to go to the altar of incense, and then before you would enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, keeping your finger there in Exodus 40, also go back to chapter 25 and look again at verse 40, because this is how it ends. I want to emphasize this. Moses, look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Scrupulously adhere to what I am saying. Scrupulously adhere to what you have seen in the mount, Moses. Was Moses careless about this? Not at all. Now I'll get to chapter 40, and I want you to notice something. I'm going to give you this quote from Bush to start with, because I think this is a very appropriate quote. God regards his own appointments in matters of worship as of the utmost importance, and at the same time of a tendency in man to vary from his patterns and trust to his own inventions. Do you see that taking place in worship today, where men are coming up with inventions, things to make worship more exciting? Let's see how Moses did when the tabernacle was being set. You get to chapter 40, and this is where everything's being set up. Notice what it says in verse 16. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Then you get in verse 18, Moses rears up the tabernacle, fastens the sockets, sets up the boards, puts the bars in, rears the pillars, spread the tent abroad over the tabernacle, put the covering of the tent upon it. And then I want you to notice the last sentence there of verse 19. Would you read it out loud with me? As the Lord commanded Moses. Then in verse 20, he takes and puts the testimony, the Ark of the Covenant in there, puts the staves on the ark, puts the mercy seat above the ark, brings the ark into the tabernacle, sets the veil of the covering and covered the Ark of the Testimony. Read it with me, please. As the Lord commanded Moses. Then in verse 22, he puts the table of showbread in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle southward without the veil. Is anybody awake? Northward. You see, he's particular. God said put it on the north, so he puts it northward. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord. Out loud, please. And then in verse 24, he put the lampstand in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward, just like God had said. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord. Out loud, please. Verse 26, and he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil, and he burnt sweet incense thereon. Out loud, please. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. He put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering. Out loud. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, put water in it. Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands, washed their feet. When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, out loud please.
Yes, Lord.
And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Verse 34, the very first word, out loud please. Then what? Then a cloud covered the tent, and the glory of God came down. Why? Moses did what he was commanded. Folks, if we are going to see the glory of God in our lives, we do what God commands. We cannot come without our own inventions. We can't put the lampstand on the north and the table of showbread on the south and think that God's going to be pleased. Well, you say, well, what difference does it make? It's inside. Nobody else is going to see it. Only the priests are going to see it. I'll tell you who sees it. God sees it. And he said, the table goes on the north. The lampstand goes on the south. Put it there. And that's when the glory of God comes down. Even when nobody else sees it, you know and I know. And I challenge you in your life as an individual to do what God says. And the glory of God will shine. Even Stephen in Acts chapter 7 mentions that Moses did exactly the way he was told. Even the writer of Hebrews in chapter 8 and verse 5 specifies that Moses did exactly what he saw. And folks, as we look at the Word of God and we see what we see in God's Word, let's do exactly what we see. When God says south, he means south. And when he says north, he means north. It's like a father with his child. What did I tell you? Put it. And I said to put it over there. God means it. And sometimes where we think we have wiggle room, and we do in some areas of our life that we would say, well, that's not essential. But when God says it, it's essential. And we do it the way he says. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Why? Because Moses did exactly as he saw it on the mount. That's when the blessings of God fall down.